Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artists. It is Saturday, August 21st, 2010. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. Mike Reynolds is on the phone, but he will not be with us long. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Terry. I'm doing fine. I'm out here with my son out here. He's now a college student, so I'm out here getting him ready for his college experience. So.
Okay. Well, let me introduce you to Gary Goen, our guest today. Gary, meet my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Okay. How you doing, Mr. Goen? How are you today?
I'm so great. Great, great. On a beautiful day in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, all right.
All right. And Ms. Cheryl is going to be sitting in for Mike. So, Cheryl, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Terry. I appreciate the the opportunity. And hello, Mike.
Hey, Cheryl. How are you today?
I'm good.
So, Mike.
I'll get her later, sorry.
Leave her alone. So now, how long are you going to be on the phone?
I'm just wanted to call and let you guys know that's it. And just, tell Cheryl, thanks for filling it for me and everything. And that's about it. So I'm out of here. But I've got to sit here and unpack your stuff and everything. And, like I said, I hope you guys enjoy the day and enjoy the music.
Well, good luck to you and congratulations to Mike Jr.
Well, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you guys later, okay?
Okay.
Take care.
All right, Cheryl.
Take care,
okay,
Mike.
Okay, now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so Mike is taking the day to spend with his son. He was enrolling in college today. So, again, Cheryl has agreed to sit in, so thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. Want to welcome to the chat room Anita Ross and Joe from Germany. Welcome for tuning in. Thank you guys for tuning in. And if you would like to join us, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com. Click on the TSJ Radio Show page and then the Play Chat button underneath the show name. You can also call in if you have a question for Mr. Goen. The number is 646-716-5485. 646-716-5485. All right, Mr. Goen, welcome again to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you for the invite. I really appreciate this, Terry and Cheryl.
Well, it is our pleasure. So we are going to be playing some music from Gary's current CD called Goen Places. This CD was released in 2004, but Gary is working on new music that we will be talking to him about in just a few minutes. But let's start with Goen Places and tell us about this one.
Well, this is a project that was really inspired by a good friend of mine by the name of Kirk Whelum. I was working on his project when he was with Warner Brothers, and it was a project called Into My Soul. And I'm by trade a guitar player, songwriter, producer. And Kirk, after they released the project, Kirk kept calling me and said, "Hey, Gary, I'm getting these requests. People are asking, is there a project out on you?" And I said, "Well, Kirk, that's not that. I'm cool with being behind the scenes." He said, "Well, Gary, just think about it." And so I started thinking about it, and then my friend, partner, David Porter, started working on some songs for the project. And David's background goes back to Stax. He's a songwriter, a co-songwriter and producer of Hold On, I'm Coming, I'm a Soul Man, When Something's Wrong with My Baby. And David, and I just started working on the project. Then we started letting a couple of people listen to it, and we got no resistance from it, and there was a couple of companies that wanted the project really quick, and I was really excited about that. And so we went with a company out of Nashville called Compendium Music, and they signed the project, and good people there, Rick Pittman and Beth Lewis, you know, they did a great job on the project. They're very happy with them. And, but
now,
that's how it, yeah, that's how it came about, and it just started rolling from there. And it all started with Kirk Willem, you know, initiating that and pushing me to go into that area that I'd never been before as an artist. But it's a different mindset as an artist for a songwriter-producer.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, you co-wrote and produced Kirk's top 10 release, Into My Soul, and I always like to ask the artists how they met another artist, because even though you're in the same business, you don't always meet. You know, there you may not have met that artist before. So how did you meet Kirk Whalum, and how did you come about producing that album for him?
Well, I believe it or not, I didn't meet Kirk until this project was on the table. The project came through David Porter. Porter knew Kirk Whalum very well in the family. And they met, they ran into each other on a flight. I don't know if they were coming back from California or they were headed to California or where they were going, but they started talking at that point, and Kirk had an idea is that he wanted to come back home and do a project. So he called David to do a project on him, and David, by him and I being partners, he said, Gary, I want you to be involved in the project. And the first time I met Kirk is when Kirk walked into the studio. Our first time meeting was in the studio as we started writing. And as soon as we saw each other, we felt like we had been knowing each other for years, and we truly become brothers. And Kirk and I, to this day, are still close. We talk just about every day or every other day, and we text each other quite a bit. We have a lot of the same interests.
Mm-hmm.
And we just hit it off very, very well. And that was my first time meeting Kirk, was when we were working together.
Okay. All right, cool. So now you have lived in three cities. You were born in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You've lived in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and you are currently now living in Memphis. And each of these cities shaped you musically. So how have they inspired you for this project?
For going places?
Yes.
Well, Memphis was more of a working town. You know, growing up as a kid, it's more a lot of steel mills, so it was more the blue collar, you know, type. I'm going to work for a living. So it was that foundation that you get in Cleveland. Fort Lauderdale had a lot of energy and pizzazz, just a lot of energy. And Memphis had a lot of soul. So what I did is combine the three on that project there, and you can really hear it in certain songs stronger than others, but the whole project was based off of that. And any time, no matter where you live or travel or whatever, all that becomes you. So as you start working on anything, as far as writing or singing or teaching, all that is that experience that you let out for others to experience also. And there's one song, well, there's quite a few, but I'm going to pick the one song. You take, like, Riverside Drive on the project. You can hear in there a lot of the influences of all three areas. Like, the foundation of the song is a Cleveland vibe. The energy bubbling, you know, happy vibe is Fort Lauderdale. The melody is a soulful melody, and it comes straight from Memphis. And I was able to combine the three together, and it worked. And that was a song, Riverside Drive, was something that I had almost 2 years of sitting on, and I decided to start working on it on my project. And I was in the studio working, and I think I was in the studio all day long, and could not come up with this melody. And I had been working, and I just got tired that day. I said, I'm through. I'm cutting everything off, and I'm going home. So I get on the street, and I'm driving home, and I was on the street called Riverside Drive. And before I could get on the expressway, the melody came to me. And I said, that's it. And I turned my car around and went right back to the studio and wrote the song, finished putting the melody down. And I said, oh, that's it. And, you know, it just came to me like that. And I think it was fitting that I named it Riverside Drive.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to that, Riverside Drive. This is from Gary's current CD called Going Places. This is Riverside Drive. Scott O'Brien from SmoothJazz.com says, you can tell from the first few notes of the first track, River Drive Side, that this is going to be a hot album. When you hear the proficiency of Gary's playing, the production values, the writing, and the overall musical quality of this album, You will agree with me that Going Places is a prophetic title for this great new project and this exciting new smooth jazz star. Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey,
thank you
Shirley.
Much.
Anita in the chat room, she mentioned that that song has a hint of reggae to it. And looking back at your bio, your musical background as far as your family is concerned is very diverse. Your grandmother was into gospel. Your mother was into rock and roll. Your father was into jazz and blues. And then your uncle liked country. Where did you find your determining factor of which genre you wanted to kind of lean into as far as your music taste is concerned?
Well, you know, with all those experiences and listening to that music growing up, and I still have a love for all of them till this day. And I think I learned how to, when you're trying to be an artist, try to move out of the way of the music and let the music do what it's going to do. It's not an easy thing, and you understand the spirit and you understand where the melodies come from. It may be lyrics, melody, rhythm tracks, or anything. We understand where that comes from. And you ask, please move me out of the way and let you just do your work. Just use me as a vehicle. And all that music with the country music and rock and roll, which I loved when I was growing up, still love today, and that's the music I wanted to play, rock and roll, you know, like the AC/DC, Fog Hat, Grand Funk Railroad. My father wanted me to play jazz like Wes Montgomery and that, and I love it. I love it today, but I couldn't understand it, you know, back then when I first started playing. I could understand James Brown and Little Richard growing up, and I used to love watching what was the name of the show? Opryland. Yeah, used to love watching that with Roy Clark. I was a big fan of Roy Clark.
You were picking and grinning.
Pardon me?
You were picking and grinning.
Oh yeah! Oh, absolutely! Absolutely! And for Nita's take on that, she hears the reggae in there. Absolutely, that's a part of being down in South Florida, and you have a lot of different nationalities around. And I think I benefit from being down in that area, and you get a chance to be friends with different nationalities, from Jamaicans to Cubans to Italians. You know, it was a great melting pot for me to have friends down in that area, and I really enjoyed that. I still go down and visit them till this day. You know, so I hope I answered the question.
You did, definitely.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, I would like to go back to Cleveland and your very first guitar lesson. Would you share that story?
No, it was crazy. Is that I was getting the guitar was bought for my brother, and I'm quite sure there's a lot of musicians that you know that play today. Some of the instruments was purchased for another family member, but it was purchased for my brother, and the guitar sat around the house for years. I decided I wanted to play music because I was so attracted to music. It just seemed like the right thing to do. So I asked my mother, I said, Mom, and you know, moms are so supportive of everything that you want to do. I said, Mom, if I find a school, would you pay for the lesson? She said, sure. So I grabbed the phone book and found the school in downtown Cleveland. She gave me the money for the lesson and the money for the bus fare. So I get on the bus and I went down there and took my first lesson, and the instructor taught me how to play, I think, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and I almost jumped out of the seat talking about, man, that's magic. I mean, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, I was hooked. And so on the way home on the bus from the lesson, I'm holding my guitar, and it just came to me and said, well, I know what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. You know, it just came to me. It felt like this is your voice. Like God has said, Gary, you have found your voice. Here's your voice. I'll put it and do what you must do with it to bring happiness to people if you can.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it. You know.
And Gary,
you know,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
You grew up listening to I'm sorry, Mike, is that you?
No, that's Gary.
That's Gary. I'm sorry, Gary. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was saying for anyone that's inspiring to be a musician, or may it be law or medicine or teaching, is when you come across that thing that you know that feels right to you, you know right then and there, this is my destiny. This is what I must do. And that's what happened to me with that guitar. And I thank God for that. Yes. And I'm all yours now. Go ahead.
Anita in the chat room wants to know if you play any other instruments.
I will only take a gig on the guitar, but as I'm writing, I play bass and keyboards and program drums, but I wind up replacing the majority of things that I play. But I every now and then I'll take a gig playing a guitar, a bass guitar. When I was coming up and I started playing guitar and got hooked on music, I tried to play the saxophone and tried to play the trumpet. And I always came back to the guitar. I tried to play the bass. I tried to play the keyboard. Tried to play the drums, but I always came back to guitar. I guess, you know, when anyone is bitten by the bug of music, they just want to see how other instruments work also, because they was, you know, there's this beautiful sound that comes out of them. And so I would only play the guitar on a gig, but in a session I could play a couple of things because I have a little more time to work things out.
Okay. Now, your band in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, backed Sly Stone. How long were you with him?
I was with Sly for a year. But we had this group called Fantasy out of Fort Lauderdale, and that was the band that became Sly Stone's band. And when I say Sly Stone, I truly say when they use the word genius, he is truly a genius. When Sly was the type of person, if he likes you or if he loves you, he's going to share a ton of information with you. If he doesn't like you, he won't say anything to you. Sly liked the group a lot, and I would sit there and talk to him as much as I possibly can. And he would share, you know, things, how he came about songs, you know, what his approach to writing. And he played us stuff that's never been heard before. And he said a lot of the songs was inspired by his mother. You know, like Thank You was inspired by his mother, you know, through a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, Sly. But he was a very intelligent, very, very intellectual person.
Okay.
I know once again, you know, all those people that you meet along the way on the journey helped shape you. So, and I know Sly had, you know, something to do with me, what I'm doing now.
And did your band audition for him?
Believe it or not, we did not. You know, that was the crazy thing about it. I don't know if he heard us or we had this agent at the time, and the agent just said, hey, Sly was looking for a band, and he wants to use you guys. And I first said, Sly who? And he said, Sly. He said, Sly Stone. I said, are you talking about the Sly Stone? You mean like Thank You and all that? He said, yeah. I said, well, when do we start? So, you know, and that just, you know, it just took off. And he was, you know, like I said, I can't say enough good things about him because he was very, very inspiring to us. I don't know about the other people that worked with him, but our group Fantasy, he was very inspiring to us. He made you look at music a little bit different, you know, because one time he told me, you know, I was playing behind him, he said, Gary, you got to understand, man, just because you have the guitar doesn't mean that you have to play all the time. And I'm like, well, what does he mean? You know, later it came to me, he said, you can lay out. You don't have to play so much. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. But, you know, he said it in a way to help me, you know, to make a person. I think a good, you know, the great thing about any teacher is when you make a person think, you know, and that's what he would do time and time again. You know, even as simple as that, you know, because, you know, you're young at that time, you want to play everything you know. And he said, well, if you spread it out, you know, maybe people can really, you know, get the feeling of what you're doing. And once again, the teachers.
And where was your first performance?
Gosh, wow, it's been so long. I know it was in Florida, but I can't remember if it was Fort Lauderdale or Delray Beach or Daytona or Tampa. I know it was in Florida somewhere, but I don't know. I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have senior moments too, and that's
fine. Yeah. You know, but I was at the thing. I was so in the moment that I wasn't logging things down like that. You know, thinking about you know the history that it would play on what I'm doing as the journey continue on. I wasn't thinking like that. I think everyone that's coming up now probably should do that and log their information because it's all about history. It's people want to hear about, you know, your steps along the way.
Exactly. All right, well, we're talking to Gary Goin about his current CD called Goin Places. He is working on a new CD called Road Trip, but we have music now from this current CD, Goin Places. And the next song I'm going to play, Gary, is Don't Ask My Neighbor. Tell me about this one.
Well, this one, when David Porter and I was working on the project, a friend had came through because what we like to do anytime we're working on music, we like to bring people through to get, you know, see if we're going in the right direction. And this friend of ours was in the music business, and he said, hey, man, I had this group, and I tried to get them to do this song on their project, but they wouldn't do it. He said, but I think the way you play sets it up really well. He said, you ever thought about doing Don't Ask My Neighbors? And I'm like, you know, no, but, you know, that sounds like a good idea. I was always a fan of the song. So I said, well, let me go. So I went out the next day and picked up the song and went back to the studio, and I started learning it. And I said, man, I knew the song before as playing as a musician, but far as you start going through and learning the song and seeing how the melody translates on your instrument, it's a little bit different, but it started working right away. So I said, hey, this is a keeper. And then I knew that I believe Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire produced the song.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fan of Earth, Wind & Fire. So when you hear the intro, it was just it's out of Earth, Wind & Fire mode, that little kick in the intro of Don't Ask My Neighbors. It's just to say thank you to Reese, because huge fan of him, Maurice White, huge fan. And so, and that's how it came about, you know, and we just sat there and put everything together from that point on.
Okay, this is Don't Ask My Neighbor. Very nicely done. I agree with you, Tony. Very nicely done. That was Don't Ask My Neighbors from Gary Goins, Going Places CD. Gary, who are the artists working with you on this CD?
Well, that on that song right there was Kurt Willem.
Okay.
Is on there with me. Mainly on this entire project, I just had Kurt Willem on a few songs with me. It's befitting. I couldn't do a project and didn't have him on there. He's inspired the project. And so I said, Kurt, David and I say, Kurt, you got to be on this project. He said, man, I'm there. You just tell me when. And so he was more than happy to come down and play on the project, you know, and
right.
I thank him for that. He did a great job. I love him for that.
All right. Well, I want to let you know that the people in the chat room are going to your website, and Joe from Germany has a question. He says, the Earl Clue and Jeff Lober, you are on the website. You have pictures on your website with them. Have you performed with them?
Yes, I did. We were on this tour called the Saxon Stacks Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see. I think we were in Colorado, and Colorado Springs with Earl Clue. And we did a show with Earl Clue, and he came in because Gerald Albright was part of Facts and Stacks. And he just released a new project, and Earl Clue is playing on his project. So he wanted to do this new song from the project, and Earl came in and sat in with us on that. Nice guy, the first time I've ever met him, and, you know, really nice, humble guy, and a beautiful spirit about himself, you know, good people. What's my guy's name? Jeff Lorbit, who I've always been a fan of from the Jeff Lorbit Fusion days. I had a chance to play with him. We did a show in the New Orleans Jazz Festival and the Playboy Jazz Festival. We were playing together on those. Incredible talent, incredible songwriter and producer and engineer. So, you know, Jeff has got, you know, he's multi-talented in multi different areas, and so those are my experience with those two guys from the that you just mentioned.
Okay.
And Gary, taking it back a little bit, you grew up with people like Miles Davis and Coltrane and everybody coming to your house. At mm-hmm. what age did you realize the significance of who these men were and really start to appreciate, you know, just being around them and in their presence?
Well, I had no understanding of when they were around because we were so small at that time. And, you know, we were just running around the house playing, and you just come over to see my father, you know. So, and the story wasn't told to me until later on in life because my father never talked about it. My uncle had told me what was going on when we were kids because my father was a singer, and I guess he knew them, you know, from those days in singing. When he became a family man, he had to take care of his family and couldn't go on the road, you know, how some musicians will, you know, make their choice in doing that, which is okay. But I did not have no understanding of them when they were around the house when I was young. And it wasn't until later on I started getting into jazz music and finding out more about, you know, Coltrane and Miles and Woody Shaw and those players, that I was like, wow, they were at our house? And, you know, I guess, well, why? You know, but you know, it's great, you know, to have, you know, things like that come around the house. And my father, he had, you know, had a lot of musician friends. And, you know, even as, you know, as I got to start playing, he still had all these musician friends. There was a guy I remember named Joe Alexander, who was a sax player. And from what my understanding was, John Coltrane was a big fan of Joe, the way he played. And Joe would go and sit in with, you know, like the Tonight Show and stuff like that. But Joe was just one of these incredible sax players. And my father would, you know, they'd get up there in the room and just talk music. My father had this reel-to-reel and would record Joe playing. And we had another friend I remember was a sax player named Willie Smith. And Willie Smith, I think if you go back on some Motown stuff, you see him, his name pop up as an arranger. He was a very good arranger, musician. But these are the type of people that my father always kept around the house, you know, that would come around and they talk. They discuss music. They discuss politics. They discuss religion, you know, all different faiths or religion also. And, you know, they do the pros and cons to argue different points on everything. And then my father felt that was his only way of learning something if he would argue with a person.
No.
Yeah, I guess there's some people like that, and you know, but he did not do it with us, you know. It was just only with his friends, and he gave us little advice to try to push us in a certain path. That's the way our father was.
And your father was a professional singer, but he chose to raise a family and gave up his career as opposed to being on the road.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
That was somewhat common back then. If you had a family and you made the decision to be a father, you know, the musician is you're not home that much, so you have to make the choice. And my mother was a great mother; she could raise us by herself, and plus we had a great support system around us with my grandmother. And, you know, very strong women in our lives growing up with my aunt, Aunt Doris, and Aunt Margaret, and very strong personalities. And great uncles also, like Uncle Morris and Uncle Huey. You know, so you couldn't do anything wrong. They're going to make sure that you stay on the right path. And
mm-hmm.
they encourage you to and everything else up under the sun to try to make sure that you stay on the same, on the right path of your love. So.
All right. Well, let's get back. Oh, I have a question. Anita in the chat room would like to know, will your music mainly focus on jazz, or would you like to do another genre of music since your background is so diverse?
I would like to do all types of music. It's, when I'm doing music for myself, it's because I think that's something that's fitting for me to play. And it just feels natural for me. So I probably would stay in that vein. But I play with different groups, playing different styles of music from R&B to gospel to Christian music to rock. I really like playing it. I like playing standards. I like playing Nat King Cole. Wes Montgomery, Django Reinhardt. You know, I love all that music. So I couldn't, you know, if I had to just play one style of music, I don't know if I can do that. Because I just think that I'm holding back and not giving what's inside of me. I think people want to hear what's inside of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Just be true to what's in you and let it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. All right, let's get back to some music. Blue House is the next song. Tell me about this one.
Well, Blue House was, as growing up as a kid, my mother and father used to have parties in the basement, would invite their friends over. So, you know, back then, kids could not socialize with the grown-ups. So what me and my brother Michael would do, we would sit on top of the steps and listen to them partying downstairs, and we would hear all this music is coming out of the basement, which we would just love, and then we'd get tired, and then we'd go to bed. So when we started working on the project, we said, well, we need a bluesy type song on the project. And I said, that'd be great. But I said, I don't want it bluesy sound. I want it to sound happy and fun, because that's sort of like the blues music that I grew up on. And out of that, reaching back to my childhood, and I given in to myself, the melody and everything came out of that, and it became Blue House. And, you know, that's how the Blue House was born.
And I just have to tell you, you telling that story just brought back memories of my sisters and I doing the same thing when our parents would have parties, and we would, you know, sneak out the room. We want to see who's there and what food they're serving, and we would ask for something to eat. My mother was like, you guys got to go to bed. Well, can we have something to eat? Can we have something to drink? So funny.
Exactly. And, you know, and you respect your parents. So you're only going to go so far. That's why we stayed on the top of the steps.
Wow, that just brought back a lot of memories.
Absolutely. But through that, as you reminisce back in time, those memories inspired things for you to write and to say and to teach. So, you know, like I said, all of it, the entire journey is a learning experience.
No, I agree.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is Blue House. That was Blue House from Gary Goins' Going Places CD. Gary, I have to tell you, you just brought back some memories in the chat room about those the blue light parties and stuff. We were in chatting about that, how we used to tell our parents we had to go to the bathroom or we wanted a glass of water just to be nosy and see what was going on. So you have brought back some memories.
Well, good. That's what I was going after, too.
Wow. That is funny.
Wow. And also, that's Kirk Wellum on there with me also.
Okay. All right. I have a question for you in the chat room, but I have to find it. The chat is moving so fast, I lost the question. So would you please repost your question, and I will ask it. But let's talk about, well, first of all, there's a picture of Howard Hewitt on your website, too. Have you worked with him?
Yeah, okay. Howard and I have been working together for quite a bit, and we've probably been working off and on for the last 4 or 5 years. And Howard's a good friend. I did not know until I started working with Howard, but we're from the same area. Howard's from Akron, Ohio, and I was from Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
Well, the story with Howard is that I got a call to do some gigs with him, the tour with him. And so I was such a huge fan of Howard, and it's only happened to me like a couple of people that make me throw me out of my whack, off my balance, because I'm such a huge fan. So we get down, we were in New Orleans. The first show was in New Orleans. And we're playing. Now, I know all the songs. I've learned all the songs. But I could not play. I kept looking at Howard and said, man, that's Howard Hewitt. That's Howard Hewitt. I'm on stage with Howard. And I think he turned around with me and said, man, would you play? But he's, you know, good guy, incredible vocalist, you know. And, you know, anytime I work with someone, I want to sit down and talk to him and say, hey, man, how do you develop your sound? And he was telling me how he developed, you know, from his natural, his falsetto, how strong it is and seamless it is going to one to the other. He said he just went in the bathroom, and he said we practiced hours and hours and hours. He said he liked the bathroom because the acoustics. And I can relate to that because for years I used to just practice in the bathroom because I like the sound of my guitar in the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah. And Howard and him and I, we still work together. We talk here and there when we get a chance to. But he's definitely a good guy. I always enjoy working with him because he always bring it every night. Every time he sings, he brings it.
Okay. Jazzy Chick from the chat room would like to know if there's anyone you would like to work with or collaborate with that you haven't done so yet.
Oh, wow. It's, wow. Yeah, there's I think there's a lot of them. Aretha Franklin is one. Dave Koz, Kenny G. Have not worked with them. Sean Jones, trumpet player. Chris Bodie. God, I mean, it's just so many. Carlos Santana. who I would, you know, he could just call me. I'll pay for my own ticket. He doesn't have to pay me. If you hear me, Carlos, call me. you know, the list goes on and on. B.B. King, you know, wow. I'm Crusaders, who I'm a big fan of, and they're the ones that really started things, really changing things for me. I was playing, but I wasn't playing. I think when I met the Crusaders, that's when I started looking at jazz a little more seriously. My father, you know, the story about the Crusaders is my father and I, you know, we'd talk a little bit, but once I got to music, we were able to talk more because we had something more to talk about. So what I would do is introduce him to an artist, and he would introduce me to an artist. So one day I introduced him to Gino Vannelli, and he said, okay, I got one for you. He said he introduced me to the Crusaders. And I was like, hey, man, I like them. And he said, you do? He said, well, guess what? They're going to be in town in a couple of weeks. I'm going to get us a couple of tickets. We go to the show. I said, okay, great. So my father and I go to the show, and I'm just like a kid in a candy store listening to this music. And so he said, guess what? You know, I heard that they're going to be at this record store. Back then they had small record stores, and the artists would visit the record stores and sign their albums at that time. And so I said, Dad, can we go? He said, sure. He said, I'll take you. It's after the show. And so I said, great. So he took me there, and I got a chance to meet Joe Sample, Wilton Felter, and Styx Hooper, The rest of the band did not show up, but I met those three. And, man, it was like, oh, my God. Thank you.
I bet. Oh, I bet.
they signed my album at the time, and I still have it. I have it back in Cleveland. I don't want anything to happen. That's why I leave stuff back in Cleveland for my mother, you know, to watch it. And I met Styx Hooper years later out in L.A., and I had to tell him the story. I said, man, you made a world of difference in what I'm doing now. I said, just a little small conversation that you and Joe and Wilton had with me. You know, I love you guys for that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, this hour has gone by so fast. We have 7 minutes left, and I definitely want you to tell us about this new CD, Road Trip.
Okay. Road Trip is an experience with I'm putting everybody on this project. It's going to be all live musicians on this project. The people that's on this project with me is everybody that I've been on the road with, from local musicians to national musicians. And the trip starts in New York, and the trip ends in California, in L.A. So I have right now I have Kirk Whelan is going to be on the project. His brother Kevin Whelan is going to be singing a song on the project. And I'm still trying to get Gerald Albright to be a part of the project and Howard Hewitt to be a part of the project. So I'm still trying to work their scheduling out to get them on there. But Kirk and Kevin I have on the project already. But the trip starts in New York, and it's got a song called Mr. G, which is a tribute to my father. And my father had this strutting type thing about himself, very confident in himself, but not arrogant. And it's got this strut, like a New York type strut. So you would hear it in Mr. G. And we moved from New York, Detroit. And forgive me if you're listening and I miss your city. It's not, you know, because I wanted to. It's only I put 10 songs on the project, so that's the only reason why. So we stopped in Chicago, we stopped in Memphis, we stopped in Texas, and we stopped in Mexico. I got a Spanish vibe song on the project also. And we end the trip in L.A., and the last song is a very light song where it starts with the ocean, the waves hitting the rocks, and you can relax now, and this very soothing song comes up to say, oh, wow, I made it here, so now it's time for me to relax. And it's just that soothing sound of it. And it takes you on a journey through different places of the state here and out of the country also. And there's a song on there called also A Night in Paris, a very romantic song with a beautiful melody on it also. And I have some good friends on the project. Jay Williams from D.C., Marcus Finney from Nashville, Melvin Lee Davis from L.A. Gosh, I can't think of, you know, I'm trying to think of the names now. And see, it's leaving me. But, you know, hopefully I'm in mixing now the project, so I should have the project out in a couple of months now. So this year. And I will keep it posted on the details and everything on the website.
Oh, definitely, please. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cheryl, you had a question?
Yes. Gary, can you just quickly tell everybody about your jazz show, your radio show?
Oh, yes. I have a jazz show every Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And you can listen to this at WUMR, and you can listen to it at wumr.memphis.edu, or you can go to the website, and there's a link from that also. So I'm doing a smooth jazz radio show in Memphis, and just, you know, very great, just great music, great musicians, and it gives me an opportunity to play some stuff that normally would not be played on the radio station here, but I was good friends with program director and art director of the radio station. And when I started talking to them, they say, and I told them what type of show I wanted to do. They said, well, we have this track that we go by. I said, no. I just want to do this type of music for these 2 hours. And they said, okay, well, fine. He said, fine, Gary, you go do it. I mean, people respect what you're doing. I said, I said, okay. And it was getting so popular is that they wanted me to add more days on it, but I just didn't have time to do multiple days because I'm always in the studio. I'm always writing, and I'm always producing. And I'm working on three projects right now. I might have a fourth project that come on the table maybe in a couple of weeks. So it's hard for me to have the time to do it, you know, multiple days. But I really enjoy it, and the people respond to it very well. They call in. The majority of calls are calling to say they enjoy the music, and I'm thinking they're calling in to say, what you play? But they said, no, you playing it already. I said, oh, okay then. Just keep playing.
And this is the only station, this is the only jazz station in Memphis.
That's correct.
From what I read. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that is correct.
Well,
yeah.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Well, Mr. Gowen, thank you so much for coming on and joining us today. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, it was my pleasure. And the only thing that I asked of you, just called me Geary. And that's okay. I was going to say you can say Your Highness or, you know, something like that, but just call me Geary.
Your Highness Geary, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure, Terry. Michelle, I really, really enjoyed the time, and I hope the listeners really enjoyed it also.
I can tell you that the chat room did, definitely.
Definitely.
Great. All right. Well, you have a great day. And we look forward to the road trip. When will that be out? Roughly?
I'm thinking in a couple of months. So we're looking at let's say end of October. I'm shooting for that. I have everything done except for the mixing, finishing up the artwork, and I have all credits and everything mapped out and everything for it. And so I cross my fingers and say, you know, that the only thing with me is that I have a tendency not to rush anything. And I won't let anything go unless I'm satisfied with it. So I'm hoping at this point, because this is my third time redoing the project because I wasn't happy with it. I was supposed to get it out a year ago.
Okay.
I'm happy with it now. I'm very happy with it now. And I'm loving everything. I'm loving the concept. And, oh, by the way, Road Trip, all the titles are tied in to some type of movement. You know, it's like Road Trip, Coast to Coast, Are We There Yet? A Night in Paris. They all have some type of movement to it where it's traveling. It goes on to it. So it's real cool project. Love the people that's on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you again for joining us, and we would definitely look forward to that.
Thank you, Terry and Cheryl. Thank you so very much for having me. And once again, to your audience, thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to meeting every one of you one day, okay?
Okay, all right.
And when you see it, and tell them when they see me, make sure they come up and say hi to me, too.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Definitely. Thank you, Geary.
Thank you so very much, and have a great day, okay?
You too.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Cheryl, we have 17 seconds left, so thanks again to Geary Gowen, and his CD, current CD, is called Gowen Places. You can find that on his website, the new CD, Road Trip, coming up in a couple of months. Cheryl, thank you so much for sitting in for Mike.
Oh, thank you for asking, Terry. Appreciate it and had a good time.
All right, you have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, Jazz Queen.
And Cheryl Boone.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow with Victor Fields. Until then, keep it smooth.